We may turn and consider if the Lord would enable us. Words you will find in the part of God's word read, the Gospel according to John chapter 4. We may read again from verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, If any man have brought him aught to eat, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. We have brought before us in this part of God's word the meeting that the Savior had with the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well, and how he instructed her and led her on until she had to confess that there was the promise concerning the Messiah. She said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. The Savior immediately revealed himself to her. When he said to her, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. The Lord revealed himself as the one who was to come, the promised Savior of Israel. We find the woman going away to tell those in her own city of this one whom she had met with at the well, saying, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? The disciples, they had gone away to obtain food. And his disciples, when they returned, found him talking with the woman, and they marveled that he talked with her. It was then that they said to him, Master, eat. They had gone away to buy meat. They had left the Savior wearied with his journey on the well at midday. Now they had brought food for him. They said to him, Master, eat. But he says to them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. He immediately thought that someone had brought meat for him to eat, or food for him to eat. They said, If any man brought him aught to eat. But the Savior's reply was, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. In considering these words, we may notice, first of all, the failure of the disciples at this time to understand what it was that the Savior was speaking of when he said to them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Then, secondly, we may go on to consider what the Savior brings before them here concerning that meat, which was meat indeed to him. That was to do the will of the Father. That was meat to him, that he would do the Father's will in all that was appointed to him. Then, last of all, what he had in view, that was the finishing of the work that the Father gave to him. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. First of all, then, we have brought before us here the disciples, knowing at this time the Savior's need of a bodily food. They having gone away to obtain that food, they return now and said to him, Master, eat. He had left him weary with the journey at the well. They would now have him eat some food so that his hunger might be relieved. Yet it is very evident that what the disciples desired at this time was not what the Savior had in view at all. That is, partaking of the food which they had brought. We find the Savior on another occasion saying to his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. They immediately thought that he was speaking of the food which they would partake of, which they would bestow on others. But the Savior was not speaking about that food at all. As he explained to them, but the doctrine of the Pharisees, the teaching of the Pharisees, that was what they were to beware of. Though the Savior had spoken of it to them under the figure of the leaven, the Pharisees, and of the Sadducees. And on how many occasions the disciples failed to understand the things concerning the kingdom of God, the things that pertained to the glory of God, how far short they came on so many occasions of knowing what it was that the Savior was speaking of. And we find them on occasions coming to him that he would explain to them the things that he was speaking of, the parables that he spake to them, that he would open up these parables to them. At other times, as on this occasion, they thought that they knew what he was speaking of, and yet they were far from the truth. When he said to them, I am meat to eat that ye know not of, they did not understand what it was at this time that he was referring to, thinking it was bodily food that he was speaking of. So it was with the disciples on many occasions. They failed to grasp what the Savior was presenting to them. How dark was Peter's mind when the Savior was opening up to them the sufferings that he should endure. Peter had to say to him that, be far from thee, Lord, that thou should suffer such thing, not realizing what was involved in the great work that he had come to undertake. And he was so solemnly rebuked on that occasion, and the Savior said to him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And if these things were true of the disciples, of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they were so slow in learning the things pertaining to the kingdom, though they were chosen by the Lord himself to be his disciples and to be with him while he was here in this world, how much more will it be so with regard to ourselves? If they were so blind on so many occasions to spiritual reality, how much more are we blind to the glorious truths that are set before us in the word of the truth of the gospel? How far away our minds are so often from the things of God and from the revelation that God is giving of himself in his own word, in his beloved Son, so that we are ready to look at things from an earthly point of view, and therefore do not understand what is being set before us in the revelation that God is giving in his word, oftentimes under the natural figures, in order that we might see in these things, see spiritual things to which they point. And on this occasion, here we have the disciples needing to be instructed, needing to be corrected, needing to be taught. So it is with us here in this world, even though we have the Word of God, though we have a fuller revelation than the apostles had at that time, for the New Testament scriptures were not yet written. They had the Old Testament scriptures which testified of Christ, yet were very far from a proper understanding of them. How tied we are to this earth, how difficult it is to lift up our minds to the things that are spiritual and that are eternal. We need to be spiritually enlightened, to be spiritually taught, to be led into the things of God, God revealing them to us through his word and by his spirit, that we might come to see the wonders that are revealed in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. In the very fact that the disciples had gone away to buy meat on this occasion reminds us of this glorious truth concerning the divine Redeemer, that in his coming into this world, when he took our nature into union with his divine person, that nature was a true humanity, and the needs that are common to men and to human nature, apart from sin, the Savior had weariness of body, as we find that here when he rested at Jacob's well in the heat of the day. He needed to partake of food as we do, and to drink also. For that is revealed in the Word of God, that he partook of food while he was here, for the strengthening of his body. Though there were times when he went many days without food, as the 40 days in the wilderness, when he was when the devil came to tempt him, when he was in hunger. The Savior was to know hunger and thirst in a way that none other ever experienced. When he was upon the tree of Calvary, it was there that he cried out, "I thirst," in the midst of his suffering. Thus also he cried on the cross of Calvary. These words in the psalm, "They gave me a vinegar to drink when as my thirst was great." They gave him also gall mingled with wine. This is the food that the Savior received of them when he hungered at that time. The Savior then was truly man, knowing what the men know in their experience, but the Savior knowing it in a far greater measure than any other ever did, so that he is one who can be touched with the feeling of his people's infirmity, even with regard to these natural needs that the bodies of men have in this world. He was truly man, who is truly God, God manifest in the flesh, the Savior of sinners. We would go on to notice how the Savior answered the disciples when they said to him, "Master, eat." He said to them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." There was the meat that the Savior had on this occasion, that he had partaken of while they were away obtaining bodily meat. He had a feast on this occasion, meat that they knew nothing of, because their minds were so tied to this world and to this life. Here we find that in their absence, the Savior had a feast, that in connection with the woman of Samaria. What took place with regard to the woman of Samaria? The Savior asked a drink of her, and she wondered at that, that he would ask such a request of her. But the Savior said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The Savior began to speak to her about that life-giving water, and that living water, concerning which whosoever drinketh of this, of the water, he says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. He was teaching this woman, instructing her in the things of the kingdom and of her need of this living water, so that she might never thirst. She asked of him to give her that water. Her mind was still fixed upon water like the water of Jacob's well. She said, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. The Savior spake to her, revealing to her her sinfulness and her need of cleansing, had a need of the knowledge of the Messiah, the Divine Savior. He led her on until at length he spoke to her in this way, when she acknowledged that Messiah was to come. He said, I that speak unto thee am he. And what took place when the Savior said that to the woman of Samaria? This woman who had come for a drink of Jacob's well, she got a drink out of the well of life. She obtained in that moment of the living water, which if a man drink of, he shall never thirst. When Jesus said to her, I that speak unto thee am he, Christ revealed himself to her soul as the Messiah, as the Savior, as her Savior, as her Redeemer, as her all for time and for eternity. Well satisfied was the woman with the drink that she got that day from the Savior. For we see, instead of filling her water pots with water and returning to the city, she left her water pots there. And then she went away to the city, saying, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Where was her thirst for the water of Jacob's well gone now? When she could leave her water pots there and return to the city to call others to come and get a drink, not out of the water of Jacob's well, but out of the living water, the well of living water, that is in Jesus Christ. The woman then got a drink out of that well. What the Savior says is, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. It was not only the woman that got a drink that day, but the Savior himself. For he says, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. This is what fills the soul what filled the soul of the Savior at this time with the holy delight. That was to impart a blessing to a poor and needy soul in this way. For to this end he had come, to reveal the will of the Father for man's salvation. And he revealed to this woman the will of God for man's salvation and the way of salvation through the divine Redeemer, through the promised Messiah of Israel. Because he was engaged in this way in the Father's work, that was satisfying to the soul of this glorious one, the Redeemer of Israel, the Savior of the Lord. I have meat to eat, he said, that ye know not of. Their minds being tied to this earth, said to one another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? But the Savior pointed out to them what it was that was his meat. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Let us notice then what the Savior has to say when he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. The Lord Jesus Christ, who appeared in the fullness of time in this world, he came into this world as the sent of the Father, and as the servant of the Father. He undertook the great work of man's redemption. And there was much bound up with that. If he was to fulfill that work, then it was by doing the will of him that sent him. For he was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, to be the Savior of his people. Christ willingly undertook to do this great work. When he came into this world, he could testify, as we were singing in the 40th Psalm, to do thy will I take delight, O thou my God that art, he that most holy law of thine I have within my heart. The will of the Father was this, that his beloved Son should come into this world, he should humble himself, and that he should take the very nature of those whom he was to redeem, and that he should spend a season in this world, and then that he should perfect the great work that he was sent in this world to perform. The work of his people's redemption. Bound up with this was the will of the Father. That was what made it a work that the Savior delighted in. That it was the will of the Father that he should do this great work. That he should appear in this world, born of a woman made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. It was to do the will of the Father that he came into this world. Is revealed in the truth as the mediator between God and man, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He was said to come to this great and glorious end, that he might fulfill the will of the Father. Called for the divine Redeemer, humbling himself, taking our very nature, infinite on the part of the divine Redeemer, that he should come into this world, he should appear in our nature. The path that he was to tread in this world was all laid out before, every step of that path. And every step of that path involved for the Lord Jesus Christ obedience to the will of the Father. As he was declaring to do thy will, I take delight, O thou my God that art. We know that poor sinners cannot fulfill the will of God. We have sinned in our first covenant hand. We have sinned by many actual transgressions. Therefore, we cannot obey the will of the Father in that way that the law requires of us. But here was one, and he was to obey the will of the Father perfect, without deviation in the least degree, from that line that was laid down for him, that path of obedience which he was required to tread from his coming into this world until he left this world. The reason that he could fulfill the will of the Father was this, what he declared in that same psalm, the 40th psalm, concerning the law of the Lord, that the law he had in his heart. It was not in vain that he was saying, to do thy will I take delight, O thou my God that art. Because he could also say, yea, that most holy law of thine I have within my heart. Therefore, he was to render perfect obedience to the will of the Father in every precept of the divine law, and in all that pertained to the great work of redemption. We know concerning the Father in heaven, the mind that he was of concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. While he was here in this world, he had to say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the mind of the Savior towards the Father was this, to do thy will I take delight, O thou my God that art, he that most holy law of thine I have within my heart. Here was one who was to render perfect obedience to the divine law, to accomplish what man had failed to accomplish in Adam. That is, keeping the law of God, failing not in any point whatsoever, but working out redemption for his folk by a perfect obedience to the will of God, and having holy delight in giving that obedience to the Father. The Savior was not coerced into this great work, but most willingly, most freely, gave himself over to this great work, and that day for his people. And it was, say, out of love to his people, certainly, that the Savior embraced this work. But it was also out of love to the will of the Father. He willingly engaged in this great work to do the Father's will in every thing that was required. That was the necessary if sinners were to be saved. For without the perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, no sinner would have a perfect obedience made over to them as their obedience. But it is the perfect obedience of Christ to the will of the Father that forms the ground of the obedience of all his people. Christ rendered that obedience for them. The Savior could testify that it was his meat to do the will of him that sent him. That meant in every aspect of the work that was given him to do. For as the mediator of the everlasting covenant, he came as a prophet, priest and king to his church. Here, in connection with this woman of Samaria, as with others that the Savior met with and blessed while he was here amongst men, we find the Savior as the prophet of the church, revealing to this woman what her need was, that her need was a drink of the well of life, and making known to her that well and the abundant supply that there was in that well for her. I that speak unto thee am he. It is revealed then that the Savior's meat was to do the will of him that sent. The disciples sought that he had need of other meat, and that is, for sustaining the needs of his body at this time. But how often it has been shown that when the Lord grants much of his favor and of his blessing, men forget their physical needs for a time. So swallowed up are they in the revelation of these things that are spiritual and that are eternal. The needs of the body become very secondary to that. Where the soul is swallowed up in the revelation that God is giving in his kindness and in his love. That is true of bodily weariness as well. Persons have gone, ministers of the gospel have gone to the house of God, wearied in body, by reason of burdens that they have had upon them. When the Lord granted much of his spirit, their bodily weariness left. though they had no outward rest, yet their souls were revived, and their bodily weariness vanished away. Here, though the Saviour was angry at this time, because as the prophet of the church, he was feeding this woman with bread from heaven, the man of God, and his soul was taken up with those things that are spiritual and that are eternal. That was meat enough for him at that time. I am meat to eat that ye know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent. Such holy delight then had the Savior in fulfilling the will of the Father, always doing his will, never going astray from his will. Not as it is with men, so often going astray from the will of God. Here was one, and he never went astray from the will of the Father. He goes on to say, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. The Savior was given me a work to do, a work which if any other attempted to undertake, they would be utterly crushed under the weight and the load of such a work as this. But here was one. And this work was laid upon him. He was chosen for this very work. And just as David in his own day was chosen for an earthly king to reign over his. Here was one who was chosen for this great work, so that the Lord had to say, as we were singing in Psalm 89, in vision to thy Holy One thou sendest, thy help upon a strong one laid, out of the folk I raised a chosen one. Even David I have found him out, a servant unto me, with my holy oil, my king anointed him to be. Whatever, however that may refer in a certain way to King David, it refers in a far higher way to the one who was David's son and yet David's Lord, the one who is king over Zion. He was chosen for this great work, the work of the eternal redemption of his folk, to redeem a people with his own blood, to give his life a ransom for men. What the Savior speaks of here is not the beginning of the work. It is not the middle of the work, but the completion of the work. Much is made in our day of the beginning of the work, Christ coming into this world. Christ is saying here, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. This is what was before the eye of the Savior, the completion of that work. For sinners could not be saved, except the work be perfected exactly the Savior fulfill all that was required in order that sinners might go free. We know that when men begin a work in this world, that they may never finish that work. They may be removed from this world and so never finish. Or they may run out of sufficient material to finish the work. Or they may find the work to be altogether beyond them, though they started with the hope that they would complete. But here is one, the mind of this one was not that he would go so far in connection with the salvation of his people and then turn back, but that he should finish the work that was given him to do, that he should perfect that which concerned his people. And every step of obedience was leading him on to the completion of that work on the accursed tree of Calvary. He set his face like a flint. He set his face on Jerusalem when the time came for him to be offered up. He did not turn away back. The will of the Father was that he should suffer and that he should die. Therefore he had to declare, "To do thy will I take delight, O thou my God that art." The disciples were amazed to see him going on before them, pressing onward, step by step, in the path of obedience, where he was to suffer, the just in the room of the unjust, to give his life a ransom for men. "I have meat to eat that ye know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." What a dark, dark world this would be if the work of Christ as the Savior of men was an unfinished work. If he had not completed that work, if he had failed in any aspect of that work whatsoever, then how hopeless would the case of sinners be? What a dark world this would be without a glimmer of light. But the Savior's will in doing the will of the Father was to complete that work with all that entailed. And that entailed far more than we can ever understand. What it meant for the Lamb of God to go onward to Calvary, where he was to suffer and to die, bear the wrath and curse of God in the Roman stead of the guilt. This he did most willingly, most freely. It was not the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet that bound him to the tree, but the love that he had to his own. Otherwise, he would never have been on the tree of Calvary at all. He needed only to ask 12 legions of angels to scatter his enemies. Yea, he could scatter his enemies with one word. He had only to say to those who came to arrest him, when they asked him if he was Jesus of Nazareth, You told me to answer them, I am. And they fell to the ground. And Christ was doing the will of the Father. He was doing that day when he was pleading in Gethsemane's garden. And he was doing that day when he went forth to suffer. And when he was hanging upon the tree of Calvary, he was doing the will of the Father. And all the sufferings that he endured, he was doing the will of the Father. Obedient to the will of the Father, and delighting in the will of the Father. He could declare, or it could be declared of him, it was for the joy that was set before him, and that he endured the cross, despising the shame. For though he was to go down to the dust of death, he was to rise again from the dead, and he was to be exalted to the right hand of power. He was to receive a name that is above every name, the name that all might bow before him. He was to fulfill the will of the Father. And this was meet to his soul. This is what he was satisfying to him. So tied was he to the will of the Father, and that in love, that he would not turn back. He would press on until he had fully satisfied divine law and justice in the Roman stead of the guilt. And until he could cry out at last, it is finished, the work is finished, the redemption of fear, his elect inheritance is finished. And when he cried upon the tree, he had made an end of sin, he had brought in an everlasting righteousness. And he yielded up his spirit unto the Father, whose will he had done, from whose will he had never deviated in any degree, yea, even in the least degree. My meat is to finish his work. He saw it as the work of the Father, this great work of redemption, to pay the ransom price. And that day, and with the blood, the shed blood of Emmanuel, and he fulfilled that work, and he finished that work. He made an end of sin, and he brought in an everlasting righteousness, revealing to this woman of Samaria the wonders of redemption. That was meet to him, applying to her the redemption that he was yet to work out on Calvary. For he knew this, that he would not be ashamed, and that he would not turn back, but that he would perfect that which pertained to his people. What a revelation we have then concerning this one, even in his bestowing upon this poor woman of Samaria and of the water of life, enriching her for time and for an ever-ending eternity, and all in virtue of what he was to accomplish on the accursed tree of Calvary in obedience to the will of the Father. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us pray. O Lord, do thou give us understanding in the things concerning thy kingdom and thy glory, that which will fill heaven with wonder and praise throughout eternal ages. Leave us not to the darkness of sin and unbelief, but do thou bless us each one with the blessings of thy grace. O look upon us in mercy, forsake us not, far from us never be. Enable us to cast all our burdens and all our concerns upon Thee. Guide us with Thy counsel. Lead us in a plain path. Go before us in every step of our way, directing us in a right way, that we might walk in the path of obedience to Thy holy will. Take away all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We may conclude singing in Psalm 110. The Lord did say unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy foes a stool, whereon thy feet may stand. The Lord shall out of Zion send the rod of thy great power. Midst of all thine enemies be thou the governor. The willing people in thy day of power shall come to thee. In holy beauties from morn's womb, thy youth like dew shall be. The Lord himself hath made an oath, and will repent him never, of the order of Melchizedek, thou art a priest forever. These four verses the Lord did say unto my Lord.
The Lord did say,
the Lord willing at 6:30, and the prayer meeting on Thursday evening at 7:30, the Lord willing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and communion of the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen.